have a Lord God Almighty, right?
Amen.
Not just a God, but a Lord God Almighty. So praise the Lord for who he is. Am I on now?
Testing. All right, there we go. All right, well, we have several announcements to go through here. And before we do, I just want to say thank you to you as a church for allowing me the time to go and preach at camps this last week. I commuted back and forth, but it was a great week at Bear Lake. Close to 30 kids made professions of faith in Jesus Christ. And so it was truly awesome. And I didn't come in Thursday. I just stayed at the camp. That was the only day that I did that. And boy, was it refreshing. So, but I want to thank you for the opportunity to do that. We also want to welcome back Dave and Carolyn Fagley. So it's good to have you back from Uganda. And this morning we're going to hear about their trip to Uganda. And so I'm looking forward to that. We have our church camping trip that is this coming weekend. And if you would like to come out and just, if you don't want to camp, but you want to come out and have dinner with everybody, it's at Fort Custer. And at 7 p.m. on Friday, we're going to do just a big community dinner. So bring a dish to pass, bring your own plates and utensils to eat with. And at 7 p.m., we're going to have a big feast. And so I want to encourage you to come out for that. Even if you're not going to camp, you could come out for that time on Friday evening. And we want to say congratulations to our men's softball team. They won the regular season, and they won the tournament championship last week. So, good job, fellas. And also, the Fagleys are going to be presenting a longer version with more video of their trip, not this coming Wednesday, but next Wednesday, okay? And if you're the kind of person sitting there and you're going, you know, I've always thought about going on a missions trip, but I don't know, then you especially need to be there because you need to see how God can use you. And I'm really looking forward to that as well. And so it's not this coming Wednesday, but next Wednesday, Dave and Carolyn, it's going to be an hour-long presentation, and I guarantee your heart will be blessed. And we as a church, we may not have been there physically, but we were there through Dave and Carolyn. But we were there through support and through prayer, and so it's going to be really good to hear about all that the Lord did. Also, there's a new ladies' Bible study that's starting up on September 12th, and so ladies, keep that in mind. There's a volunteer opportunity at the Rickman House on September 15th. That does conflict with another thing that we have on September 15th with the church backpack, so choose one that you want to participate in. But we're doing the ice cream social from 4:30 p.m. till 7 p.m. Here at the church. And that's going to be, that's August 15th. The other one is September 15th. I'm sorry. The volunteer opportunity at Rickman is September 15th. The ice cream social is August 15th. And that's from 4:30 to 7 p.m. Here at the church. If you notice, there's a bunch of backpacks that have been given, right? And we have about... we need about 40% more, okay? I think we need about 40 more backpacks. So if you'd be willing to donate a backpack, or we have boxes for crayons, pencils, all those kinds of things. We're expecting about 400 people to come out for the ice cream social and backpack giveaway. We need people to run carnival games, to scoop ice cream, and it's on Tuesday, August 15th from 4:30 to 7 p.m. So sign up at the Welcome Center if you'd like to help. Just show up. We can definitely use your help. And then also we have the Allen family that is coming September 10th. And they're the ones who Dave and Carolyn Fagley went to Uganda with. And their family sings. Many of you know them. And it's going to be a great time of fellowship with them on September 10th. There are more announcements. There's a trip to the Creation Museum and Noah's Ark in October. If you can be part of that, sign up at the Welcome Center. And read through your bulletin so you can see everything there. Many of you know Benny and Gyla. Gyla is not doing well, and they've given her less than a month. And so if we could keep them in our prayers as well. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you that we have you not only as a God who sits in heaven, but you are our Lord. You personally interact with each one of our lives as Master, and that you are almighty, that anything we need in life, that we have a God who cares, that does act, that can act, and that will. And we thank you that you are such a great God. I thank you for bringing Dave and Carolyn home safely, and we look forward to hearing from them. Lord, just use put the words in their mouth that they need to share with us this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to study your word and to understand some concepts that are very deep and some concepts that are not so. And so, Lord, this morning, I just pray that we would have a greater understanding of what it means to do for the Lord, to serve you. And I thank you for the examples in our church that we have of that. And Lord, we do pray for Gyla this morning. We ask that you would watch over her, give her peace. And Lord, I know that's very difficult on Benny right now. We just pray that you would watch over him as well, give him strength in these days. And Lord, thank you for meeting with us this morning. You're a God who cares so deeply about our everyday lives. And so, Lord, we just lift up all that we have going on. Be with our search committee this afternoon and deacons and youth sponsors as they meet with a potential candidate. We just ask that you would oversee that meeting. And, Lord, that your will be revealed and that your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with Blessed Be Your Name.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, when I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Worship His holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I will worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I will worship your holy name.
We have the ushers come forward, please. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for being able to come out here and hear your word. And Lord, I just pray that we can open our hearts and use what Pastor has to say and use it in our lives as we go out each and every day, Lord. Lord, we come to you. We give thanks and offering, Lord. I just pray that we use this for uplifting your name, Lord. We just pray this in your name. Amen.
As I rest against this cold, hard wall, will you pass me by? Will you criticize me as I sit and cry? I had fought so hard and thought that all my battles had been won, only to find the war had just begun. Is he not strong enough? Is he not pure enough to break? For an hour make me suffer for a lifetime. Is there any way to be made whole again? If I feel renewed and find forgiveness, find the strength I've never had, will my scars forever ruin all of God's plans? Into his hands and turned it all around. In my most desperate circumstance, it's there I finally found that you were strong enough, that you were. Again.
Jessica. Aren't you glad that God is strong enough and great enough? Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to ask Dave and Carolyn Fagley to come on up here. And as they come up here, I got a text from Todd Allen, and he said that these two are superstars, and that they were extraordinary on this trip, and that they were so blessed to have Dave and Carolyn with them. And so thank you for representing Jesus Christ and representing 12th Street Baptist Church.
Hello.
Yoga. That means how are you? Another word I learned is Ayalama. It means thank you. I want to thank God and 12th Street for sending us to Uganda. It was an experience and a blessing I'll never forget. While the medical team was at the hospital, the rest of the team visited villages and had one-day vacation Bible schools. We had about 1,000 kids, and we were prepared for about 500. There were so many kids that they put three age groups together. My age group was from 2 to 7 years old. We had about 150 kids in each group. We had two people each group to take them to different stations. One little girl broke away crying, and I was able to herd her back to a woman teacher where she picked her up, and then she stopped crying. Next, a little boy, about 2 years old, broke away from the group crying. I tried to herd him back, but he didn't want to go back. So he looked down at my shoes, then looked at my face, and screamed. The mother sitting there looked at me, and I pointed that to his sticker on his shirt and his sticker on my shirt. And I said, he's on my group. So she pointed a little boy, and in Ghana said, get your little rear end back to the group right now. So he walked back, he quit crying, then he reached his little hand up. I felt good that he trusted me. This reminded me of the lost sheep in Luke 15, 1 to 7. Another thing that stands out was continuous prayer. One day on the bus, we were coming back from the village visiting. Todd told us that if he caught anyone sleeping, he would take our picture. So later on, I heard Dave. I opened my eyes to an iPhone inches from my face. I jumped back and realized that someday I'll be on Facebook. From then on, I learned to raise my hand while praying. Another verse stands out was Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yoga. This incredible journey started a year ago when the Allen family came to 12th Street Baptist and stated that they needed help in Uganda and mentioned medical help. God whispered into my ear that morning saying, you need to go. I answered him saying, okay, not really knowing how much I would be changed. 28 people from 9 different states traveling 21,000 miles through 4 countries, changing time zones 8 times, staying 14 days with one mission, to minister to the wonderful people of Uganda, sharing the love of Jesus and salvation. I've had the opportunity to see firsthand how desperately these people needed help and hope. The 5 days I worked in the hospital, I would look into people's eyes that appeared empty and longing for hope. These are the people that Jesus could have been talking about in John 4:35, saying, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The people were eager to hear about Jesus, Yesu, and ready to grab the hope that believing in Jesus Christ brings. We had tracts in the Ateso language and also in English, and I passed them out daily to people. Also, silver-colored coins in the Ateso language, with John 3:16 engraved on them. Each tract used Bible verses to show the way to salvation. I started giving a tract and coin to each patient's family when I delivered the patient into their care after each surgery. The Ugandan people are very appreciative when they are given anything. Coming back to the hospital the next day, there were people waiting for tracts and coins. I have felt very blessed to have been one of the 28 people in Team Hope 17. 28 different people with 28 different personalities coming from different parts of our country with the one common goal to share the love and salvation of Jesus Christ through tracts, coins, surgeries, the children's conferences, VBS, medications, smiles, handshakes, caring, sharing my own testimony and love. This is what this incredible journey was all about. Again, thank you so much for each of your prayers and the monetary support given to us to be a part of this journey. We could not have done it without each of you, and believe me when I say each of you were with us every mile and every step of the way. Many people came to know Jesus while we were there, and you were there with us. I've been asked if I would go back, and my reply is, in a heartbeat. It was tough with all the traveling, the hours on the planes and on the buses, and we felt like sardines. And through this, I learned that I'm not as young as I thought I was. But I would not have missed this awesome experience, and I will go back if that is what God wants me to do. Our work is just beginning in this country, and the harvest is ready to bring in. Jesus says in Luke 10:2, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We will be sharing pictures and videos and stories on a Wednesday night, which will be a week from this coming Wednesday, and an hour-long presentation, which will also allow questions, in the next couple of weeks and tell more of the story. We will be sure to announce which Wednesday at church, and we just found out, and I will also put it on Facebook. Ayalama, thank you, and we have a gift for the church.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you and 12th Street for sending us to Uganda and the prayers that we felt on our trip. A calm came over us when we were on the plane. It never left us. I knew then everything would be okay. Thank you for everything that happens with the Allen family and the Hope Missions. Please continue being with the Sutton family and Debbie Michaels Missions in Uganda. Amen. Amen.
You also have that video? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Kevin and Cindy have a new toy to play with there. So. We do have a video of their trip that we'll watch now.
Ready to go. Look at this enthusiastic crowd. We're on mission. First mission, go to the hotel, get some sleep.
Hallelujah, we made it.
It's a little bit crampy, but we made it, and we have bags. It's fine.
And we have all our bags. Right. That's amazing.
How was the first night?
So.
Sure.
I hit the bed and I was gone.
I hit the bed and it hit me back.
Boat Missions International, and we're about to put some 2x4s in here, and we're about to put some sheetrock in this place. It's about to be a medical facility, so we're waiting on Andrew to come back and kind of tell us what we're supposed to do. Right now, we're kind of sweeping the floors and stuff.
So you don't know what you're doing?
Not exactly.
It was amazing. The men and women were praising God, open and free, and praising Him for what they have. It was amazing. And then in kids' church, it touched me a lot when they took up the offering and the children brought their coins that they had. It reminded me of the widow and the mites, and it was amazing to see them giving back to God what they had. It was just an awesome experience, and I was so glad to be a part of.
Lord, I thank you again for each and every member of this team. Lord, I've tried to let them know collectively and individually how much I love them and appreciate them being with us and how wonderful it was to be able to meet them and, Lord, be a partner with them, Lord, in your work. So, Lord, I pray that they would always know that this ministry is forever grateful for them giving of their time, giving of their talent, giving of their resources, Lord, to just spend a couple of weeks with us. And I pray that their prayers would continue to be for this work. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. You are worthy of all of our praise. And so, Lord, when we get to heaven, Lord, I pray that we will be able to stand before you. And, Lord, when you turn and show us the number of children and adults, Lord, who have made decisions for Christ as a result of our being here in obedience to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Love you all.
Who wants to go next year?
Right.
All right. At this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10. There are three preachers who were sitting and they were discussing the best position and posture for prayer while a telephone repairman worked nearby. Kneeling is definitely the best posture of prayer, one of the pastors said. And no, another one said, I get the best results standing with my hand stretched out to heaven. You're both wrong, said the third. The most effective prayer position is lying face down on the ground. Just about that time, the repairman couldn't contain himself anymore, and he said, hey, fellas, the best praying I ever did was upside down hanging from a line. You know, honestly, if we think about life, it's all about our perspective. Everything in life. I'm sure Dave and Carolyn's perspective on life, after having been to Uganda and seeing the Lord use them in so many amazing ways, is very different than it was before they went. I know that just personally, before I go and have an opportunity to speak or to serve, that my perspective always is a little bit different when I'm done. And our perspectives in life dictate our attitudes toward what we do and how we do it. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 48, it says this, Jesus said to them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receives me, and whosoever shall receive him that sent me, for he that is least among you, the same shall be great. And here's the thing that Jesus was saying. He was saying, it's not about being great. It's not about even doing great things. It's about being faithful in what you do. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 39, Jesus says, he that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. You want to find your life, you have to lose it. That's some kind of weird reasoning, right? That's some kind of different logic than what we're usually told. But in order to find our life, first we have to lose our lives. And then he continues in verse 40. He that receives you receives me. He that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Jesus is speaking about a perspective here that's very different than what the world would ever look at. See, Jesus said, what you do for the least, you've done for him. Jesus says that what we give for the name of Jesus and what we do in the name of God, it has great and eternal consequence and great and eternal reward. There was a baby tuna swimming in the ocean, and it saw a submarine and got very afraid and said, Mama, Mama, what is that? And she said, don't worry, it's only a can of people. Perspective, right? perspective means everything, and it changes everything. See, I'm sure for Dave and Carolyn right now, they look and they say, God is so great, and people are so ready to hear the gospel, we just got to do something to tell them, right? But your perspective, because of what you've been experiencing, might be, God's ways are hard, and people are hard, right? Because what have you been facing? What's your perspective? You know what? The perspective that Dave and Carolyn have, it's true. And the perspective that you have is true. But now here's the question. What are you going to do about it? When we think that the gospel is so hard to present to people, that people are so calloused and so cold, when that's our perspective, we tend to shy away from sharing the gospel. We tend to withhold putting our best energy into it because we don't want to be cold, we don't want to be turned down. We don't want them to pour their cold water on our fire. And when that's our perspective, it keeps us down. See, Jesus had this great plan. His plan was that he would show his grace to us. And as he showed his grace to us, we would fall in love with him and want to share that grace with others. And that it would just continue and go and grow because he loved us, we can love him. Have you ever done anything out of the blue, extraordinarily nice for someone? If you've never done it, then you have no idea what I'm going to talk about here, okay? But if you just out of the blue do something extraordinarily nice for somebody, you get more out of it than they do. You receive much more than you gave. And this is what Jesus said. If you give even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, you've done it for me. And when our perspective in life is that God has given me so much, and God has poured into me so much, he gave me grace. He gave me mercy. And we decide that we're not going to be a bucket where we just fill up with that. That we're going to be a funnel that lets it pass through us and we give it to others. That's when life is at its best. But when we don't have the proper perspective, it's really hard for us to serve. And so I want to encourage you, don't do things because of the view that you have. Do it for Jesus. If you're at the top of the mountain, serve because it's for Jesus. If you're at the base of the mountain looking up and no idea about what a great view there could be in life, serve for the sake of Jesus. Because Jesus taught, what you do for the least of these, you do it for me. So we have a group of people who come in every week here at the church, and they clean. If their perspective is, oh my goodness, I can't believe another coffee cup was left in the auditorium. And if their perspective is, I can't believe that people can't aim in the bathroom. Okay, if that's their perspective, then cleaning the church would be an utter and complete disappointment every single week. Because you know what happens in the church? We mess it up every week. We are dirty people. And we don't even know it. We track in dirt on our shoes and mud. And sometimes when we open a door, we open it too far and we ding the wall. And sometimes we miss the trash can with our paper towels. And you know what? The people that come in and volunteer, because that's what we have here at 12th Street, is an amazing group of volunteers. When they come in and clean, if the attitude is, People better not have gotten it too messy this week. Then every week they're disappointed. And every week there's a lot to complain about. But you know what? That's not what happens. Our crew that comes in vacuums, they come in and they have a smile on their face. They have a spring in their step. Some of them are getting older, so the spring is, it doesn't spring as highly as it used to, but there's still a spring in their step because they're here to serve Jesus. When they sweep up the dirt, they're sweeping up dirt for Jesus. And when that's the perspective, because here's what happens. When the church is clean and people come in, that's a wonderful testimony. If the church is dirty and visitors come in, what's wrong with this church, right? Because what we do in the least is done for Jesus. We have volunteers that come and mow the lawn. Okay, we have 14 acres. Mowing the lawn is a big project every week. You could get a little bitter and say, man, God, why'd you have to have it rain this week? Whereas most people are going, thank you for the rain, Lord, because now things are finally going to grow again. Or get upset because there's trash left out in the yard. Got to get off the tractor. But you know, when we do it for Jesus, it changes our perspective. Tell you what, some of the happiest people in the world are the people that are out here volunteering on the lawnmowers. You know that? Because they're doing it for Jesus. Their reward isn't a greatly manicured lawn, although they always do a good job. Their reward is they served the Lord. And because that's the perspective, there's joy in the service. I got to brag on Ray Berry for a second. He's not here, so it's okay. All right. 2 weeks ago, he took the Life Changer, the teens to Life Changers, right? Drove that bus all the way back from Detroit. He was exhausted. On Sunday, they got up, they shared their testimonies. Sunday afternoon, at about 3:30, 4 o'clock, I called him and I said, hey, Ray, there's a youth group that's on their way to Bear Lake Bible Camp. Their bus broke down. Is there any way you could help? Now, Ray has one of two options. He could go, I am sick of teenagers. I've been driving that bus long enough. This is my Sunday afternoon. I need a break. And if he would have said that to me, I would have completely understood. It's not what he said. He said, where are they? I'm leaving right now. And he went and picked them up. And I talked to one of the youth sponsors from that church. And they told me, they're like, that is the happiest man that I have ever met. Why? Why is he the happiest man on a day where he really did need some time off? He really could have used a break. Because he wasn't serving himself. And he really wasn't doing it for that youth group. He was doing it for Jesus. And Jesus brought the joy. When we do for Christ, our perspective will be correct. If we do for any other reason than Christ, people will be difficult. Because people are difficult anyway, right? God will be distant. Because when we're at the base of the mountain, God seems distant anyway. And so we need to do for Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, it tells us this. Whether, therefore, you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Think about that for a minute. Whether I'm going to eat or drink, no matter what I am participating in, It's to be done for the glory of God. So when we give a drink of cold water to one of the least of these, when we help somebody who's broken down on the side of the road, and we take the time to share with them our faith, when we help the neighbor who's struggling, when we find the single mom who's just having a really hard time, when we find the guy who's just burnt out because life has been really hard to him, we bring to them the perspective of Jesus. We share with them how great our God is. See, I'm sure there's a lot of moms who get really tired of diapers. And dads, too. I mean, I was just, those kids had to get potty trained because I was just sick. I didn't want to do one more diaper, all right? You know what? I want to encourage you with this. Those of you who are changing diapers in that stage of life, every diaper you change is not really for your baby. It's for Jesus Christ. Because you're shaping a young life to be a follower of Christ. And because you can serve them, they will learn to serve Jesus. And as we raise our children and we have these just ridiculous arguments, right? Probably no parent here has ever had a ridiculous argument with their child, right? Because your children are all very rational, right? They always have really good perspective on things, right? Because they can always see into the future. They can't just see what's 2 minutes in front of them, right? No, we all go through those struggles. And parents, let me tell you something. As you parent, you are doing for the least of these because you're doing it for Jesus Christ. You're not just dealing with your child for a moment. You are establishing in them a foundation forever. For you that have grown children, and you're watching them raise your grandchildren, and you're just covering your face in horror. Your aid, your help, it's not just for the grandchildren, and it's not just for your children. It's for Jesus Christ. And you are helping to shape, even though your children are grown, you're continuing to shape in them an image of what Christ wants. I was really proud of my wife a couple weeks ago. It was a few weeks ago now. She was talking to an old college roommate. And it's funny because her college roommate married a man who's now a pastor, and Rachel's married to a pastor. So, you know, they got a little bit in common. And as they were talking, her friend said, "My husband and I are going to go give some plasma so we can afford to get some tires for our vehicle." And Rachel's like, "Oh, no, you're not." And she said, "We're buying those tires." And her roommate's like, "No, you can't do that." And Rachel's like, "You're not going to give plasma so you can have tires on your car. If you want to give plasma, use the money for a vacation, okay? Use it to travel. Don't use it for tires." And you know what? It's for Jesus. To be able to help somebody when there's nothing that's going to be given back in return. Those are the greatest gifts. There's where you find the greatest joy. You know why most people don't want to give? You know why most people don't want to serve? You know why most people don't help other people out? Because they've never done it and they have no idea how wonderful it can be. So I just want to challenge you this morning to find the perspective of Jesus. I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward to help distribute the Lord's table. And as they do, I just want to remind you about what Jesus did for us. While we were yet sinners, while we were living in rebellion to God, while we were walking in our own ways, Christ died for us. He took the most horrific beating that any human has ever taken. His best friends looked at him after he rose again from the grave and could not recognize him because he had been beaten so badly. Isaiah says that the form of his face was marred, was disfigured more than any man. No one in history has taken a beating like Jesus did. And he took the beating so that you and I could be forgiven for sin. And if you have trouble being motivated to serve because it's good, because Christ is pleased, or because you're doing it for Christ, then be motivated by this. Christ, the creator of everything, the one who in Colossians 1 says he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He laid down his life for you. He let people like me, people like you, beat him and crucify him. He let his life be given completely so that we could be saved. The Holy One, who was from the beginning, the Alpha and Omega, became your sin and took on death so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And we're going to take communion right now. And if nothing motivates you to do for the least of these, as you take that juice and remember, he shed his blood for you. And as you eat that bread, remember, he let his body be broken for you. And what he wants from us is he says, I just want you to do for me. He's not asking you to do it for other people because, listen, other people fail us, let us down, are inconsistent, and frankly, sometimes are just plain old jerks. But Jesus Christ gave everything. And he's saying, I don't want you to be motivated by other people. Jesus says, I want you to be motivated by me, by Christ's death, by Christ's resurrection. So as we go to communion this morning, the thought that needs to be in your mind is, I want to do for Christ because he has done everything for me. Cole, could you ask a blessing on the bread? Take, eat in remembrance of me. Caleb, could you ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine? Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I'm going to invite you to stand up with us. We're going to sing this the chorus of the song that they just sang. Let's sing it out to the Lord. To be led to the cross, it leads us to service. It leads us to do what we should. So let's sing it out. Big world out there who needs the love of Jesus, and there's a great big God that we serve that can meet the needs of this world. So let's go out and serve him this week. Lord God, you are great. We love you. We thank you for what you have done for us. And now, Lord, you say to us, go, teach the gospel, baptize, disciple. And so, Lord, I pray that we would do that. And I pray, Lord, that every cup of water that we offer to the least this week, that we will know that Jesus Christ is being served. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great week.